Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative. It's the Capital Connection this week. With us is State Senator Liz Krueger, a Democrat from New York's 28th District on the east side of Manhattan. Welcome back, Senator Krueger.
Thank you. But I want to say I also have Midtown and go as far west as Penn Station and Roosevelt Island. My fiefdom has changed lines.
Yeah, those lines have changed over the years. You're quite right. And some of them look like amoebas and caterpillars and all sorts of other things, by the way we redistrict.
Whatever.
That we can do shows into infinity on redistricting, but I want to get to you because of so many things that are happening in New York State. First of all, we have a $254 billion state budget now, and I did some things that the governor, Kathy Hochul, liked. She said she got what she wanted on her affordability agenda, which includes things like $400 checks to those in need going around New York. But at the same time, we have the situation in Washington, D.C., which could really, if it hasn't already, imperil New York. And many are disappointed with what's coming, including lawmakers. I'm guessing you're going to be back in Albany if the bill that passed the House passes the Senate.
Absolutely. Look, we're all counting on the U.S. Senate to have more vertebrae than the House did and to reject this horrendous bill that the president got through Congress, the House, so quickly. And if you watch the news, you now see even House members in solidly red districts all over the country coming home with town hall meetings saying, "We passed this big, beautiful bill," and people screaming at them, "What did you do?" And I watched like the news last night late, and they're acting like they didn't know any of this was in the bill. And they're not convincing their voters because the stuff's there in the bill. Destructive cuts to Medicaid, to Medicare, to Social Security, to the SNAP program, to child care programs, to education, all these sort of just core values of all Americans, even if they made the mistake of voting for Donald Trump. And they're getting their heads handed to them. And I'm hoping, sincerely, that the U.S. Senate, who I think now has said they'll deal with this over the summer, will be both reading the bill, because apparently the House members didn't, and will be saying, "Oh my God, how could we do that?" And I'm also hoping that huge numbers of Americans do watch the news and do read what this bill would do and stand up and demand no, and I repeat no. And by the way, all of the money cuts are to give the wealthiest Americans continued permanent tax cuts and increased tax cuts, not to mention such a large increase in the deficit that even Elon Musk, and please goodness, I've never agreed with Elon Musk and never will, but he actually stood up and said, "I'm leaving this place. How could they increase the deficit this much?" So it's so obvious that the Trump administration is doing so much damage that hopefully enough Americans will rise up in objection that we can stop the worst from happening. Because if it does happen, David, New York State is almost on the top of the list of states that will face enormous damage. And no matter how many cartwheels and pretzel twists we try to do at the state level, we will not be able to make up for the enormous cuts being programmed in for our state and other states.
I hate to put it in political terms, but we are talking to a politician, Liz Krueger, and that makes me think, okay, if New York State can't possibly deal with what cuts are likely coming, and by the way, your words echo the state comptroller who I talked to last week, Tom DiNapoli. If that's the case, usually it's the people in power that get blamed when these things happen. So Democrats are in power in New York State. Now, you can blame the federal government and the Republicans as much as you like, but in the end, it tends to be the people in power that get blamed. I'm just wondering if there's going to be a political quandary for Democrats here in that, you know, right now the Governor Hochul's in power. She hasn't been doing too great in the polls on, you know, New Yorkers wanting her to be reelected. So, and we're seeing people like Elise Stefanik and Bruce Blakeman and Mike Lawler on the Republican side wanting potentially to challenge her. So where does all this blame end up when it comes to the minds of New Yorkers?
Well, you never quite know what's happening in politics and how voters are going to pattern themselves. But if voters are mad, and I think they're mad at everyone, they're mad at Republicans, they're mad at Democrats, they're mad at anybody they know the name of, they should, again, do a little research and discover that all these damaging things that could be happening here in New York are on the backs of all these Republican congresspeople who gave their votes to Donald Trump in this budget resolution. And so the people you just named who want to take power as the next governor need to get a whole lot of explaining done to the people of New York as to why the actions they are taking in their current jobs aren't the problem. And yes, it's my party's job to explain that to people. And yes, it's true. When you look at the public opinion polls around the country, people have had it with both parties and representatives of both parties. Although I think the data shows that people here in New York still like their local elected officials. And hopefully will be listening to us when we speak out. And I do believe we have to keep speaking out and making clear fact from fiction. I continue to say to people when they say, why is this happening? The answer is because elections have consequences. And New York still has one of the biggest fundamental problems of any state. People are not going out and voting. They're registering to vote, but they're not voting. So people say, oh, look, see how much better Trump did in 2020 than 2016 here in New York. And the punchline is he didn't actually gain votes, but people didn't come out to vote. And so people who we expected would be Democratic votes didn't show up. So we have a lot of work to do in New York to increase voter participation, to get people to understand the connection between voting, not voting, and what happens in your life. And I think that is, frankly, an important role for those of us who are in elected office to keep doing the public education and trying to increase the number of people who do come out and vote, including young people who are turned off before they even try to participate in the system.
We're speaking with New York State Senator Liz Krueger, a Democrat. Liz, let's get to some major issues. We'll have to go a little more quickly. We're moving through the program. I want to talk about a couple of things. First of all, involuntary commitment. I'm imagining you're a bit disappointed by this. New York State has made it easier to involuntarily hospitalize people with severe mental illness.
So it's not that I'm disappointed with that sentence. And it's not even that I'm so disappointed with the action that was taken. But here's the thing. I represent Manhattan. We have more of these kinds of unexplained violent incidents on the streets and subways by severely mentally ill people who aren't getting any kinds of mental health care, aren't getting any kinds of help, and do lash out sometimes. Now, of course, mentally ill homeless people are still more likely to be victims than assaulters. But when there are assaults, they're bad. And they're in my district. The police pick up people every day. They take them to XYZ emergency room. Those emergency rooms have them spend maybe 3-6 hours, maybe 3 days, and then release them back to the streets. It accomplishes nothing. So what I continued to beg the governor for during the budget negotiations, and frankly, overall failed, was a commitment that if you bring someone into a hospital ER or a three-day stay, you can't discharge them back to the streets. You can only discharge them if you have an appropriate setting to bring them to, a psychiatric hospital for longer care, a supportive housing residence with intensive psychiatric services on location, a family member who is willing to say, yes, they'll stay with us and we'll get them the care. But to discharge back to the streets is no win at all and will make people even more cynical about government. I thought you said it was all going to be fine now. And I stood up on the floor of the Senate during the budget debate and said, for the record, it isn't going to work. And so when people are angry at us in 6 months and a year, I'm telling you today, it's because we didn't get it right.
Well, now let's go to another issue that is a big one and was the result of years of fighting between Democrats and Republicans over bail reform. We have in this year's budget the issue of discovery and discovery reforms. Discovery has to do with the amount of evidence prosecutors have to provide. And there have been some changes made, which seems to be a compromise between at least the governor and Democrats and the Republicans. Your thoughts on discovery?
So here's where I tell everyone, I'm not a lawyer, and the area of law that I can fake the worst is acting like I know anything about criminal law or what happens in a courtroom in a criminal case. My understanding from the colleagues I have who worked very hard on this is that the compromise is completely reasonable. I know what Mike's conference said throughout this process was we want a fair process. We want both sides to have fair opportunities at justice. We're not favoring one side over the other. It is true when we made the changes in discovery a few years ago, we went from a system where prosecutors sort of held all the cards to a system where there was more of a balance between defense attorneys and prosecutors. People argued that we went too far. I sincerely don't know if we did, but we have compromised, and I guess we're going to take a try at this newer model and hope it works for everyone because, again, whether you've been charged with a crime or whether you're prosecuting a crime, everybody should have an even playing field to make their case in court.
Let's spend a little time, Liz Krueger, on casinos. The New York Mets owner Steve Cohen's plan to build a casino next to Citi Field took a step forward this week. Lawmakers moved to clear one of the project's major remaining hurdles. The Democrat-led state Senate, that's you, voted 54-5 Tuesday to allow New York City to reclassify 50 acres of parking lots surrounding the Mets Stadium. The state assembly approved the bill earlier this month. Now goes to Governor Kathy Hochul. Tell us more.
Well, I'm one of the five who voted no, because I think you know, David, I am opposed to gambling. I'm particularly opposed to gambling that involves government participation. I feel like we're just lying to people, a dollar in a dream. The house always wins. The gamblers statistically always lose. And disproportionately, it's lower income people who lose their shirts through any of these arrangements. So I'm a no vote on gambling, and I was a no vote on this deal. There are some people who said, well, we weren't approving a casino. We're just giving the alienation for the parkland so that the guy could build the casino if he gets through the casino licensing process. With all due respect, if he didn't have the alienation of the land, he would never be able to get through the casino process. So I felt that it was a vote for a casino or against a casino. Will he succeed? I don't know. I kept getting presentations. I have to say, on paper, it's a very attractive design. I kept saying, I like everything but the casino. Can't you please do all the other things and leave the casino off? And I was told, no, that's not how it works. You know, the Urban Institute came out with a report the day we were voting, after the assembly voted, and it said Queens is now at risk of losing 50,000 units of affordable housing in Black and brown communities because of the massive change in gentrification and knocking down of sites that have been there and providing affordable housing. That, frankly, terrifies me, because while there is some affordable housing attached to this package, I think under 500 units, if we're going to lose 50,000 units of affordability in that section of Queens, that ought to be a wake-up call to an awful lot of us.
Well, and my argument is, how many more casinos can you build before the revenues, you know, it's diminishing returns? It's all the same pot if you think about it. And plus, you've got casinos on the borders of Connecticut and other states right around us. And a lot of people are gambling through these apps now right on their phones. So it seems like we probably don't need another casino.
Well, the other issues I've always objected to with gambling, and specifically with casinos, they always promise the world, then they can't deliver the outcomes they claimed. So then they come back to the legislature and say, you have to reduce the tax share that you're getting because we're not making enough money and we're threatening to close. That's happened in every state that has allowed casinos. It's already happened in our state. My staff tells me I'm not allowed to say this, but sorry, I'm going to again. I don't know. Why don't we just let organized crime run casinos? They apparently know how to make money that way. I'm not really serious. I'm not encouraging the contracting with organized crime. But there's just something wrong about everyone imagining expanding gambling is some kind of silver bullet, either for the people of New York or for tax revenues for the state of New York. Because the truth is, whatever disposable income people are spending at the casinos or gambling online is the money they're not spending on other things in their community, including paying their rent and feeding their families and assisting with their children's educations. You know, there's a maximum of disposable income, and we hear all the time how it's shrinking because affordability is a crisis and housing costs and utility costs and food costs are skyrocketing. So if you're putting that money into gambling, you don't have it for the other things you need, and that's not a win for anyone.
State Senator Liz Krueger, what's going to happen with medical aid in dying legislation? The folks there have been working for 11 years. It's probably the closest it's ever gotten. Will it finally pass?
I am cautiously optimistic that it will pass. I'm a co-sponsor of the bill, have been forever, so I definitely want it to pass. The Assembly did pass it. We've conferenced it. While we didn't do a head count how many yes and no in the conference, I came away from the conference feeling we have the votes. And even people who said, I need to vote no, this can't be a yes for me, they weren't saying the world ends if you bring it to the floor. They were just saying, I understand the issues. I understand people who are on the other side of the debate, but I just have to be a no. And so it was an incredibly important and respectful conference about very serious issues. And so I am pretty optimistic that we're going to be able to get it to the floor. Of course, we have this problem of the time clock of when session ends and the fact that the budget went on so long, 40 days late, that it really limited the amount of time we now have to get bills done. Again, I think this year is going to be a little different than other years because I suspect we will be back after the summer to deal with budget crises created by the federal government. But when we're back, it means we have more opportunity to move legislation that we didn't get to. But I'm going to stay cautiously optimistic we get this bill done before we leave town on June 12th or 13th.
You know, you supported a lot of environmental legislation and partnered with your colleagues in the Assembly on some. The New York State Senate has passed, your house, the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act. It goes after plastic packaging. It's now headed to the Assembly. It's always miffed me on the environmental legislation when both houses are led by Democrats and one house always seems not to approve it.
Well, the fact is, this is an enormous bill with enormously complicated different issues in it because it's covering packaging for so many different categories of business. And so Pete Harkin, the sponsor of the bill, has done an amazing job, literally over a five-year period, trying to meet with everyone from every industry, talk through their concerns, work with everyone in the environmental world, and come up with a bill that we believe, because we passed it last night overwhelmingly, we believe gets us where we need to go. Because the fact is, the amount of damage being done by packaging that is filled with forever chemicals or filled with microplastics has such damaging impacts on the bigger picture environment, on our solid waste management crisis, which is spreading throughout the state, and with our fundamental health problems. It's, the evidence is so overwhelming that we have to get something done. And Europe is way ahead of us, and they're doing it, and the world didn't end. They're doing it. There was an interesting debate last night involving hours of back and forth where Pete Harkin did amazing, amazing work. Everybody can turn on the, you know, the channel and watch it if they want to. And the fact is, he had answers for every concern. He had examples of how these solutions are working in various parts of the country already or various parts of the world. I don't know if the Assembly will take it up. I don't know if the governor will sign it. But it was a huge win for New York that we passed it on the Senate last night and pushed the ball forward in this very, very important area.
Liz Krueger, Democratic Senator from New York. Tell us about the New York Protect Act.
Ah, of course. It's my own bill. I never remember these cute names that somebody smarter than me comes up with. This is a bill to try to protect not-for-profit organizations who may be losing their federal nonprofit status because the president decides to pull it for political reasons or writes one of his weird executive orders pulling everybody in certain categories, claiming they're un-American or whatever. You know, pick a day that he's doing something like this and trying to protect their having continued not-for-profit status in the state of New York. So this is basically a bill that says, if the feds have pulled your 501c3, which defines you as a nonprofit, for political reasons as opposed to you did something bad reasons, then you will still have the right to keep your nonprofit status here in New York and keep the rights and privileges of a not-for-profit, including exemption from state and local taxes. We unfortunately can't protect them from owing federal taxes if they lose their federal 501c3, but I think we can do a lot to protect their ongoing rights to be a not-for-profit, an educational institution, a university, a hospital, a small not-for-profit social service agency who maybe didn't turn someone into ICE one day, et cetera, et cetera, and that they shouldn't lose their state status as a not-for-profit corporation just because someone at the federal level decided to use their power, conceivably unconstitutionally, to pull their status as a not-for-profit. So I'm hoping I can move that bill because it's just common sense, I think.
Finally, I wanted to ask you about psilocybin. These are what we would call psychedelic mushrooms. There is a group led by a man named Avery Stemple who's been approaching lawmakers, and there are versions of bills that have been put together to allow first responders and soldiers and others with PTSD to use, under a guide, medical guide, this substance. It has seemed to help many who suffer from PTSD. Other states are allowing it. Is this something? I know, you know, we have recreational and medicinal marijuana here in New York. Is this something that sounds like an issue you would support?
I have to admit, I have not been participating in this discussion, so I am not a co-sponsor of any of these bills. Yes, I carried the cannabis legislation for 7 years before it passed. And yes, I met with endless medical professionals and reviewed endless research studies from around the world about the health, safety, and in some cases, concern of cannabis use, and knew that it was the right answer for New York to allow both medical cannabis and recreational adult use cannabis. I have done none of that work on the psychotropic drugs that people are urging be allowed to be legalized. So I will let you invite someone on your show who's sponsoring the bills. So I look forward to listening to your show with somebody else on it who knows what they're talking about.
Fair enough. She is State Senator Liz Krueger on this week's Capital Connection. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. You're always there when I call, and you know I'll be calling again. So thanks so much, Senator
okay.
Krueger.
You're welcome, David. Have a good day.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative.